We have Mike DeSabato in studio, and you've probably read his name in the papers or heard about it on the radio.
That's a lightning rod.
Mike has filed suit with some other former Ohio State wrestlers because of the Dr. Strauss incident that we've all been talking about.
Dork, I just went to get a coffee. He sued me. Yeah. Oh, Mike. Mike DeSabato. Hi, Michael.
What's up, man?
How are you? Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good morning.
So where does
love
everything
you,
stand right now?
But I'll kill you.
I really love you.
You guys filed suit against OSU, your group. How many lawyers and how many people involved in your group? Because there's a Scott Smith group and then there's another group out of Seattle.
Yes, I believe, well, the firm that we're working with is a consortium of attorneys that have focused on this topic, sex abuse and educational systems, as well as sports in general. So there's six attorneys across the country that have worked together for the last 8 years, and this is what they do. You know, I think they're on a crusade to clean this stuff up as it relates to educational systems. There's no place for this kind of behavior and this kind of this gross,
yeah,
vile negligence, frankly.
And Mike, let me catch everybody up in case they're not, and then I'll let you and Torg kind of go deep because Torg's hip to the case and both sides and some of the more details. But just to catch everybody up, so you wrestle at Ohio State. Dr. Strauss was there. You were one of many that we've all seen the allegations the last couple of weeks. But what brought it to the forefront for you, like, recently? What jarred loose in you? What was it? Somebody finally spoke up, or?
And then you felt it was time for you to speak up?
What brought this out? Like,
well, first
was it
of all,
a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, first of all, they're not accusations. They're absolute facts.
All right, okay.
And at this point, I wish, you know, there would be more people at the university would actually recognize that. We have over 100 that they've recognized officially that have had firsthand experiences with Strauss. And I can tell you that that number, in my opinion, is 10 times that, minimum. We're talking about 20 years, 15 different sports. And if you were ever a part of Ohio State athletics, you knew this guy and you knew his reputation and you just knew. So when it really hit me in December of this year, I was actually talking to one of my good buddies, who we know, Torg, and I don't want to use names, but he was describing the Michigan State details. You know, everyone knew that there was issues up there, but when you look at the details of how Nassar seduced and or whatever you want to call it.
These gymnasts.
Yes, it was always the same thing. You have a sore knee, you know, drop your pants. That was our kind of joke, you know, locker room joke within our community. And then when you see what he actually did to these young ladies, it's shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about fingers and
Yeah, we don't have to get into it.
Well,
my point is
serious stuff.
It's serious stuff.
I mean, he'll never get
And when you looked at how he did it, it was smacking me right in the face. Like, this is the exact same experience I had as a student athlete.
Do you think OSU takes you seriously, you personally? But you've had past run-ins with Ohio State, so do you think Ohio State looks at it and says, well, this is DeSabato, we've had run-ins, we're not even going to deal with him?
Well, they
know. Because they haven't responded to you, correct?
Well, that's, you know, there's, you know, that's not a simple answer. I think the answer to do they take me seriously, it's not really my concern whether they do or not. I will say I think they take me seriously over the last several years because we've been consistent on stressing student athlete rights. I've never been against Ohio State. I love Ohio State. It's a part of who I am as a person. I grew up here. My family, you know, has committed to wrestling here as a family, and so it's not easy to have the conversation. But at the end of the day, right is right. You can see that my story is not the only story. And again, I think when this is all said and done, you're going to see over 1,000 to 2,000 athletes, and again, it's about making this place a better and safer place.
Because there's nothing you can do about Strauss since he's been dead since 2005, as opposed to the Nassar case at Michigan State, where of course now he's serving time in prison.
Yes, and again, this isn't about penalizing Doc Strauss per se, other than the truth. I mean, the truth is, let's set the record straight. There are folks in positions today that are still making decisions that are very similar to how they were made then. Addressing those issues, it's a systemic issue at the university. Yeah. This isn't just wrestling. This is, quite frankly, it's campuses across the country. I mean, it's the most dangerous place to be a young lady. 20% of all female students get raped on campus, and we seem to be okay with those statistics. You never hear, at least it's almost as if we expect predators to be on college campuses. You know about all the stories of adult male heterosexual professors pursuing young co-eds. It's kind of been part of our culture.
Yeah.
And yet, when you look at that from a parent standpoint, and you've got young daughters at the university,
sticky.
It needs to be addressed.
Yeah, right.
Jim Jordan, one of several assistant coaches. You had Russ Hellickson was your head coach. Why pointing out Jim Jordan and going after Jim Jordan when there was other coaches there as well? Because a lot of people will say it's politically motivated. If you call out Jim Jordan, you're going to get attention to what's going on.
Well, first of all, I've been real close to Jim for most of my life, actually. We've known each other since I was, I was 6 years old getting into the wrestling business, let's call it. Jim's been a friend of mine since graduation. His political views are a hell of a lot more right than mine. Some people think I'm, a liberal bark eater. The others think I'm who I am. When it comes to politics, I have opinions just like everyone else. But when it comes to Jim, I've been a big fan and supporter. I've supported his campaigns. I've golfed at his golf outings. Now, I wore an Obama shirt, but I was there. So we've had a good relationship. We joke each other. Obviously, we were always politically what I call sparring in the locker room. That's what we did as a group. So this wasn't about Jim Jordan. I didn't make the call, that NBC News actually picked up on the story. He had made a comment in April, right after the story went public, denied knowledge. And frankly, when you're in that position and you deny knowledge, you got to be careful what words.
Someone's
going to
call you out on it.
But he finally admitted. I think he was on a Fox show with the guy with the perfect hair, the Ken doll hair. What's that, Brett Baer?
Bear.
That he did say at first. He said I never heard of it. Then he said it was locker room chatter. But no one directly came to him and said, "Hey, this is what's going on." It was he knew through locker room chatter, but no one ever walked up to him.
The doctor was a creep.
Yeah, no one walked up to him individually and said, "This is what happened." Correct.
Well, that's not true. There were several folks that have come forward and said, absolutely, I had a conversation with Jim about it.
Did people have a conversation with your coach?
I know I did. I mean, I had, Torg, you probably heard one of my stories over the years regarding Strauss. This wasn't something that I ignored for the last 20 years. We talked about it. However, you don't look at it. I didn't look at it as sex abuse until I saw it in front of me. I mean, when you look at the Michigan State details, there's no doubt. Now, the one thing that they're not talking about, which is even probably more important in a lot of the victims' eyes, was the environment in which we showered in, trained in, and had to deal with in Larkins Hall, which if you're a politician and you get that question, first of all, I do the research. When you look at the research or the definition of sexual abuse, overt voyeurism is one of those things. It's probably not something you should participate in. And yet every day we went to, when we got out of practice and ventured into the locker room and into the showers, we were greeted with 6 to 12 either administrators, professors, who were there to witness elite male athletes shower. It happened. It is what it is.
And so your coach went to Andy Geiger at some point or went to someone above and said, "Hey, this is what's going on. You got to stop it."
Well, Russ
and then what were they told?
Russ is on the record stating that he shared this with multiple Russ, meaning Russ Ellickson, our coach. I know Russ had those conversations because I saw, you know, I heard he would come in on several occasions, you know, frustrated. When you see two adult males engaging in a sexual activity inside a locker room, that's pretty shocking. And you can't keep that just, oh, that didn't happen. I know it went to Fred Beekman, the head of Larkins Hall. I know it went to the highest levels of the athletic department, not just from Russ, but also from several athletes in the mid-90s who went in, sat with Geiger, talked to Geiger about these both these issues, Strauss and the locker room, and it wasn't addressed. And again, it goes
correct
back.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Geiger said he doesn't even remember Dr. Strauss, correct? Is that what he said now?
That was his first statement.
Okay, that was his first statement.
Well, when he left, he did go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Couldn't go any further west, north.
So Geiger's now changed his tune since the first statement?
Yeah, he was smart enough to change his tune. And again, when Jim came out in April, I'll go back to Jim. Listen, it's not atypical for someone to not want to address the issue. I mean, like, think about, I was sexually abused. So having... I expected him to, you know, think about the issue, get educated about the issue, and what happened is NBC called him several weeks ago. They wrote a story, and we got a lot of calls because of it.
Because you've sent emails to people and called people and talked to people about it. You've been in not charged, but people have accused you of harassing them. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. And where does that stand? You just left him alone, or what happened?
Yeah. I mean, I've had some backlash, as you can imagine, from this situation. I mean, it's not something I expected pushback. It's no different than what happened.
But you pushed back to them as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Torg, we're in an age where you need to document these kind of conversations. And so getting an email or a text message from me is not surprising. You've been on the receiving end.
Yeah, I've seen them all. Yeah.
You know, I've updated you because, again, this is something I need to share with people I trust so that if I disappear, you know, there's just a lot of folks. This is a very powerful university, controls the state economy, controls the message here with folks I do business with, and it's been, they've been pretty aggressive, let's just say that.
How does it make you feel that the university so far, not anything, not a comment, not say, we know there's
no
an issue
press
here.
Conference,
We're going to take care, we're going to look at this seriously for the first, we know that there's a climate of this hostility and all of this.
Or has there been a response and we just don't hear it yet? I mean, the attorneys have to be hearing something, right?
No, they're deflecting it to an investigation.
Yeah.
That, frankly, should have started in January. That's when
it's like the Mueller investigation will never end.
Yeah,
you'd
right.
think when the first allegations came out, like you said, in January, the university would be all over that.
Their response has suggested that they are interested in covering up a lot of information and not sharing it, rather than take responsibility, be accountable, be transparent, and address the issue. As you probably know, in some of the reports, I worked as hard as I could to have serious conversations with leaders,
mm-hmm.
folks that get paid to lead institutions and it just didn't
Mike,
happen.
Where are the other coaches? You talk about upwards of 1,000 student athletes, 15 mm-hmm. sports. I mean, take Jim Jordan out of it. Where are all the other assistants and all the other sports? How come nobody, was it fencers and swimmers? And coaches?
There has been a couple coaches on the record.
Yeah.
I think the lacrosse coach at one point
spoke. Yeah, I saw, yeah.
And again, none of them are denying that Strauss was
right.
the guy that everyone talked about, laughed about, joked about.
And he committed suicide. Do you think he did that given his guilt over so many years of abuse?
I don't want to read into it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I know this. He left here suddenly and went to another another environment where he could prey on on victims. And I mean, if you look at his follow up job, I think he was it was a low, high risk environment where he, you know, could be around kids and adult males.
All right, we're talking with Mike DeSabato. We're going to talk. We're going to take a quick 5 minute break. We'll come back. We'll do one more segment. We'll ask what happens next. And also, there's a little video of you on a bus that we have to mention too that became viral. We do it in 5 minutes. QFM 96. All right, back with Mike DeSabato. It's Torg and Elliot. QFM 96. We were talking off the air, and I mentioned this to you off the air as well, Mike. You usually, when you get in a situation, whether it's Michigan State or Baylor or whatever it is, you've been very aggressive in this, and usually when you're a victim, you're not throwing the tweets out and throwing social media like you have. You've taken a completely different approach.
Well, I've always been pretty aggressive when it comes to what I believe in, Torg, and again, what I've found in this in the last 6, 12, 24 months is they don't listen to you unless you scream. And when it comes to screaming, when it comes to this issue, you really do have to scream. I mean, I think if you look at the Michigan State situation, it wasn't for 3 years that they actually started to actually listen to Rachel, the whistleblower. And again, same kind of thing. I started having conversations with the university, as you know, 3 years ago, related to student athlete health and wellness issues. It's on the record. I met with Gene Smith. We spoke about the issues, including concussions and other issues that affect the health and well-being of young men and women. And so I've got a long record of I love Ohio State, but I also am concerned about student-athlete rights and student-athlete health and wellness issues. And frankly, it's been a passion for me for over 20 years, as you know. And I'm not going to back off because I love Ohio State. I mean, I love Ohio State enough to say we need to have systemic change to create safer a safer environment for young people. That's what it's about. I mean, you can't send a kid to a public school. These are public institutions, and yet we've got kids being shot in schools. There's no safety. And when you send a kid to college, if you're really being honest with yourself, that's not a good feeling to be as an adult male with two kids, male or female, but female especially. You're looking at rates that are just
and
not
with
good.
The hope as well that a university the size of the Ohio State University, that would trickle down and this could become part of a nationwide
cause.
Oh, it is. Movement to where this could trickle down to schools throughout the country and you could perhaps see some
systemic change. The end of the day, is not just an issue at Ohio State. That's, again, the message. This is... I can tell you there's been three Big Ten institutions that have already gone through this. I can tell you I know of personal experience of several Big Ten schools when I was in school that had similar issues. And look at Ohio State alone, just within the last 3 weeks, we have a diver who, when you look at the details and the allegations, oh, by the way, that's not good. Not good having pictures pictures and knowing
that was
about
a 16-year-old girl and the diving coach at OSU.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah.
16 with pictures being sent to an Ohio State employee that amounts to child porn. I mean, that's serious stuff.
And do you
stuff.
Think nobody wants to hear this? Because, come on, let's not dwell on that. OH, football season's about ready to begin.
We don't need this to weigh us down.
They literally are. Do you think it's a concerted effort to sweep this under the rug and just it'll go away?
Well, it's a hard issue.
I mean, there's too many athletes. This story's too big, too hot to just go away. They should know that.
I think it's past the Ohio State officials having control of this situation. I think it's gone up to the I would hope it's gone up to the highest levels at the state level. Because
what's the statute of limitation on this in Ohio? Do you know that?
It's 12 years.
Okay.
I think the attorneys are going to argue that this is gross systemic negligence. It
over
continues over decades. It hasn't changed. If you look at the diving case, now you've got culpability over you know, three different athletic directors, Jim Jones, Andy Geiger, and Mr. Smith. And it just hasn't gotten better, Torg. I mean, you've been around the program for a long time. You've heard the rumors, you know, the sexual abuse allegations that were made by a female track athlete dating back to the mid to early 90s. They handled that pathetically. And it's, again, these are issues that we've had as athletes, student athletes, and it wasn't our intention to have this debate be a public debate. Again, 6-7 months of having these types of talks. And then you look back at the Spielman issues that date back to last July. And again, this is pretty consistent. You can follow the timeline if you really want to follow the timeline. And you can see that this is not, an attempt to be, it's an attempt to do the right thing.
Now, there's a video out that went on Twitter, and it's you on a party bus goofing off about this whole thing, and come to a guy and said, "Hey, I'm Dr. Strauss," in the video, and there's a guy sitting there. Talk about the video. What was going on there?
Well, Torg, I was out of town, so I haven't looked at the video, but I know the situation
you remember
they're referring
the evening.
To. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was the NCAA tournaments in Cleveland. I was heading up there with a couple young athletes. I had to change. I had to change my clothes, and this is right in the early, right before I was going to go public. And what's normal in my experience with locker rooms, it's locker room banter, and they were teasing me about, you know, that's what guys do to other guys. Oh, you know. Guys do to other guys. It's they tease each other. I think I made a joke. You know, Doc Strauss is in the house. It's probably not something I should have said, but at the end of the day, you deal with this kind of embarrassment. There's embarrassment. There's shame. It's a tough thing to do.
And of course, your detractors are saying, "How traumatized was this guy? How serious are these charges? If here he is doing that, but in the moment."
Well, at the end of the day, I'll tell you how serious it's been. I mean, if there's another, you know, victim out there, if you know, my critics want to, you know, look at facts, the facts are over 9 years, I probably saw Strauss 5 to 6 times a year at least. And every time I saw him, I don't remember a time where he didn't ask to see my groin area.
Yeah.
We all knew it wasn't the right thing, and it was what it was, and the university turned a blind eye. You know, there's folks that are attacking me with, which is just shocking. I mean, we talk about it, emotional.
Ben Askren was taking a shot. He said he talked to Mark Coleman, and Coleman made it up, or Coleman coughed and said, "Yeah, whatever." He went on Twitter, Ben Askren, the MMA fighter.
There's been a lot of guys with relationships to Big Ten institutions that probably shouldn't be making those kind of comments. It's called victim shaming, harassing, retaliation, all of which are part of Ohio State's sex abuse policy that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And yet we have, you know, prominent former Buckeyes with relationships actually work for the university going on multiple, you know, radio stations to disparage my character, which has had a tremendous impact on my ability to do business in this community. And frankly, it's had an impact on major retailers in this region, meaning they don't take my call or don't return my call or have been told by the university dating back several years that this is not one of our guys.
Now, Mike, you said before that, the 5-6 times a year that you would see the doctor. Mm-hmm. From the victim's point of view, knowing that these exams were wrong and inappropriate, as someone that probably had a scholarship, mm-hmm. is that the reason everyone says, well, why would you let
anyone try to kick his ass?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the 16-year-old.
Were you afraid that
swimmer,
I've got a scholarship here that I could lose if I make a accusation like this against
it's the same thing. Why? And I get that a lot. And I can just say we had no voice. You know, that's one of the issues. When you look at student athlete health and wellness, we're talking about young kids, 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I got the first time I was touched inappropriately by Strauss was 14 years old at my high school. He did a body fat test. And, you know, again, if the doctor at The Ohio State University, who's also
your high school,
who's also sanctioned by USA Wrestling and the IOC, we thought it was a big deal. This doctor knows what he's doing. This doctor from The Ohio State is going to come.
Yeah, you wouldn't question that.
You don't. No. And again, when your cousins went there, you know, I would hear these stories about Strauss. Everyone laugh about it. He wasn't an intimidating guy. I mean, he looked like Fred Rogers. He acted like Fred Rogers.
Yeah.
Your brother went to Ohio State right after you. Did Adam go to Ohio State?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had my first experience was my cousins went there. So I remember being, you know, sixth, seventh grade and doing clinics.
And did you talk amongst each other, your family, about the
Absolutely. Doctor? Absolutely. It was a joke. Like, you know, you say Strauss's name and immediately it's drop your pants with a chuckle. That was normal within the student athlete community, whether it was wrestling, gymnastics, golf, you name it. If you, at that time, that's just who it was, and there was no recourse for us to, other than complain to your coaches in the locker room, which Jim has admitted to.
Yeah.
He's heard, you know, he heard that stuff. There's only so much you can complain if the Geigers of the world and the Jim Jones wanted to sweep all that stuff under the rug. That's what happens. And especially at this institution and other institutions of higher learning, you've got tenured professors who have access to young men and women and have power that it comes to power and voice.
You're in a locker room shower and there's the history professor.
Or that's weird. I mean,
soaping his crotch extensively. Let me give you some examples as much as I can.
I mean,
listen.
Keep it clean.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it clean, but let's just say this. There were shower stalls.
Kept clean, all right.
There were shower stalls next to our shower. And we, on regular occasions, you would see adult males peering over top of those with their hand on the door, securing it while their other hand was not in view. There was, you know, our sauna was next door to our shower. It was actually moved there by administration right when I got to Ohio State. So now you have adult males going into the sauna completely exposed with their customer sitting across from them. That's probably not
so
cool.
Where do we stand now, Mike? You've been very generous with your time here. Where are we at right now, and what do you foresee happening in the next few weeks, few months?
Well, this
as we wrap up the year here, and
I hope we get closure soon. I mean, I've been involved in this tornado since January. You know, the university said their sex abuse policy says this should have been over in 60 days. It's not, obviously. I'd like to see some you know, serious progress. We hope the investigation will end soon and we can have some kind of dialogue about how to, you know, have transparency, accountability, justice, and regime change.
So what's next from a legal standpoint? Is there a pre-trial hearing? Is there a court case coming up? Do you have to wait 6 months? Where is that from a legal standpoint? So let's say Ohio State hypothetically does nothing with this. You filed suit. What happens next?
I don't have the details of, you know, exactly what the timelines are, but I assume, you know, it's typical.
Because they can drag this stuff out from a court standpoint for year or whatever.
You would think they'd want to wrap this up, though. I mean, God, do you want that hanging out there year?
Well, that was quite frankly, that was our thought early was.
Because you emailed them, right, and said, hey, this is, let's work this out or it's going to be ugly for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, you saw several emails, very nice, suggestive that this is not going to go away. Several to Jim Jordan, two, I think. Board members, folks on the board, former athletes on the board who, again, if you're in a leadership position, leadership is not a position, it's an action.
And some board members told you, leave me alone, right?
Not so much.
Email back, or what was he? What was the guy who said?
There were some board members at various wrestling program, wrestling clubs that I got that from who didn't want to be associated with, you know, these allegations. And again, I can't, if you're going to be in a position of power and you've got a responsibility to your, you know, to the, your constituents, I mean, these are kind of questions that public officials have to deal with. I mean, whether they like it or not.
Hey, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, that was really,
thank you for your time this
Biggie
morning.
To come in. We were happy to share your message here. Let's hope there's some resolution.
Guys, I appreciate it. I mean, again, it's having a voice about these issues is important. You know, there's been a lot of retaliatory behavior, whether it's, you know, guys being called to change their testimony. You mentioned it with Ben Askren. It's important for victims out there to understand that this is time to stand up. The numbers, again, I hope the university changes their tone. They suggest that they're open to more guys coming forward. But again, your actions speak louder than words. And I just hope that this helps, conversation helps to bring folks to an understanding this is a cleanup. This is not a hate mission. It's time to invest in change.
All right, thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate it. Mike DeSabato, QFM 96.